So on the screen behind me, there's a picture of a door. It is slightly open. Now, most of you will see it as an open door inviting you to enter inside from the busyness of your lives with the hope of finding a rest or peace within, a peace that seems hard to attain on the outside. You want to escape from dealing with the constant change that almost every activity or errand requires you to process. Anybody feel like that? Others will see that door and you will see yourself on the inside of the house peering out into the world. You wonder what it might be like to move from what has become so familiar. You have worries and concerns about interacting with others, waiting in lines, or just being around too many people. A few of you will see that door and you think, all right, who left the door open again? Look at all the cold air or the dust flying around in here now. Who do you think has to clean this up? Or don't let anybody pass that door. We don't need them germs in here. You know, we are people who are heavy laden. We are carrying burdens, burdens too heavy for us to reasonably bear. And instead of admitting that to ourselves or to others, we limp along under the pressure and just throw one more thing on top of the pile. It's like watching those giant freight ships, either easy for you to say, pull into the bay, right? And get conveyor belts full of goods or crane loads of cargo bins piled on top. We sink lower and lower. The difference is that we aren't designed to carry heavy loads. We aren't created to hang on to the burdens that this life brings our way. Life is hard. And perhaps for many of us, it seems harder in these days than we can maybe ever remember. So whether it's work or school or home or finances or relationships, we allow the weight of those issues to drag us down. Maybe it's disappointment, maybe it's grief or guilt from a loss that we've endured. We take on that weight and it snaps our ambition, our initiative and drive. Maybe it's illness or poor health, the suffering or the death of a friend or a loved one. Maybe it's a relationship tension with a spouse, a partner, or a child. Maybe it's resentment, anger, or perhaps worse, indifference towards all that is going on around us. These are all burdens, and there's likely more, and they're heavy in their own right, and as we pile them up, they make us weary. And you know, whether it's pastors or ministry leaders, our own staff, parents or of school-aged children in particular, whether it's seniors or our friends or our neighbors, we are people who are weighed down by burdens we weren't designed to carry. We are weary. Amen? Some of us are looking for an escape, are looking for a door, looking for a refuge. Some of us are looking for a renewed perspective so that we can venture out. Others just want to shut the door so we can control our own little world. To all of us, Jesus says, come to me. He says, learn from me. He says, find rest for your souls. Do you need that today? In these words of Jesus, we find welcoming invitation. We find a commitment to dedication, and we find the benefit of restoration. First, we want to look at a welcoming invitation. If you've always dealt with things the same way, and you find yourself in these unhealthy and often cynical, cyclical cycles of being overburdened again and again, ask yourself if you would be willing to make a change. Are you willing to change the way you currently deal with things, or are you just going to keep dealing with them because that's what you've always done? Jesus provides a welcoming invitation when he simply says, come to me. There is no harshness of tone in these words. These are words of compassion that recognize the difficulty that our daily lives often endure. These are not stern words of condemnation meant to instill guilt or force outward behavior without internal conviction. These are words that come from a grace-giving posture that declares not only a destination, but also a different means by making our way through the journey of life each and every day. These are words that Matthew, the author of this book, heard himself. You might know him also by his Hebrew name Levi, as told in the book of Luke in chapter 5. He's a Hebrew man who had taken up the role of a tax collector for the Roman government. This wasn't the career path that he or his parents would have imagined. Tax collectors had reputations. They had bad reputations of being those who extorted money from people to supply an already corrupt government. They were their own special class of people with whom you should not associate. Right? You often hear the Pharisees accusing Jesus of hanging out with sinners and tax collectors. They were worse. But Jesus did. Jesus saw Matthew or Levi. Jesus observed, and whatever Jesus noticed caused him to approach Levi and speak these words: "Follow me." "Come to me" is how Matthew internalized those words of welcoming invitation. They weren't mechanical, they were transformational. They spoke of a different way of thinking, a different way of being, a different way of relating, a different way of dealing with people and circumstances. It must have been that not only had Jesus seen Levi or Matthew, but that he was also watching Jesus. And maybe he, like many of us, was weary, heavy laden, and burdened. Here he was in a job he didn't like, and he knew it wasn't ethical. He knew that God had made him for more, but it was easy. The money was decent, and there was relative security within the political dysfunction of the day. So whatever it was, the call from Jesus spoke right into his very being. Notice that it wasn't a call to attend a religious service. It wasn't a call to adhere to traditional teachings or perform certain rituals of religious heritage. It wasn't a call to just make a change for the sake of making a change. It was a call to proximity with Jesus, a welcome invitation. "Come to me," Jesus says. "Acknowledge your weariness and the heaviness with which you trudge through your days. Bring those to Jesus. Stop trying to carry them on your own or attempting to get rid of them in order to make yourself more appealing to Jesus. He sees your weariness and he still says, come to me. Bring to Jesus that which is making you weary. Bring to Jesus that which is weighing you down and find rest, stillness amid the craziness of daily life." Secondly, notice that the welcoming invitation is one that involves a commitment of dedication, a commitment to dedication. See, Jesus is not taking you to make, is not inviting you to a singular momentary decision. He's inviting you to a lifelong commitment to being dedicated to learning from him. These days, we call it following Jesus. In those days, they called it discipleship. Discipleship is different. It is deeper. You see, a disciple would essentially be connected to a teacher's life, going where he went, sharing meals with him, watching him interact with others, asking questions. It was the learning that helped to unearth areas of apprehension and predisposition. Discipleship wasn't a quick hit. It occurred over a long period of time. And to reinforce this idea, Jesus uses the imagery of a yoke. A yoke was like a wooden apparatus that connected two farm animals, usually oxen, together. Those oxen now connected would work under the direction of the farmer. They would need to develop some common characteristics in order to work effectively. They would need a commitment to dedication. The yoke of Jesus is that commitment. That commitment to dedication. It is a desire to learn from Jesus, to being connected to him under the direction of the Father. And this, this idea, this picture, if you can get it, should affect at least three areas of our lives: our priorities, our purpose, and our pace. See, priority challenges our affections and causes us to examine our influences. If I am learning from Jesus, then my thoughts, my words, my actions need to increasingly demonstrate his thoughts, his words, his action. This mostly shows up when times are hard, when circumstances of life are disappointing, when people are contentious, or we don't seem to think that we aren't getting what we need to have at the moment. In those moments, especially in those moments of weariness, we come to Jesus and we learn from him, knowing that as we do, we find rest for our souls. Secondly, a commitment to dedication should affect our purpose. Purpose speaks to direction. As yoke bearers of Jesus, you, like he, will find the greatest blessing in responding to the truth, impulse, and direction of our Heavenly Father. As you take steps in the direction of his truth, there is a confident assurance that God provides, because you are reminded that you are taking the steps that Jesus is also taking with you. So whether your source of weariness is financial or relational, whether it's work-related or ambition-related, a good question to ask always is, what does God's truth say about this? What does Scripture say about this? I can tell you that many people who find themselves weary from internal battles are often weary because they are out of step with the clear direction and rhythm that God has set. We find ourselves influenced by so much other information that we are meandering, even spinning in circles through a maze with no clear objectives. When you choose to come to Jesus and you choose to enter into that relationship with him, he desires for you to live your life with a purpose and to use the gifts and the talents and the strengths that he has given you to honor God and to influence and impact others. Pace speaks to the speed at which we travel through life. Being connected together by a yoke means that you must travel at the same pace as the one to whom you are connected. And this requires a spirit of submission. How many have a good spirit of submission? Not so much. We're all working on that, right? When you bring multiple people together following Jesus, whether that's a family, whether that's a marriage, whether that's a group or a church family, then mutual submission and unity of spirit are necessary to keep in mind. Anywhere worth going in a Christ-centered relationship is worth getting there together. And that means you need to be aware of each other. You need to read cues and be attentive to those around you. You need to know when it's important to slow down, and you need to know when it's okay to push the pace, but always in accordance with God's clear purposes. We need to help one another as followers and disciples of Jesus to finish well, not just sprint for a short periods of time. You know, when Jesus speaks of being meek and humble, these aren't words of weakness. These are virtues that reflect the strength of the character of God. They aren't easy to cultivate or to put in practice. Meekness is the inner strength capacity to trust that God is still in control even when everything else is going crazy around you. Humility is the posture that allows you to serve others from a position of meekness despite your own needs, with the confidence that God is at work. He knows your needs, and he will provide that which is necessary for you as you seek to fulfill his purpose in and through your lives. A welcoming invitation, a commitment to dedication, and thirdly, Jesus provides the benefit of restoration. Restoration. Here's an ad campaign for you. You can't spell restoration without rest. R-E-S-T. Don't you think that would be good? Now, let's be clear. Here's what Jesus doesn't say: come to me and live a carefree life. You understand that? He does not say that. Jesus doesn't say you shouldn't carry any burdens. In fact, what he does say is that you do have a burden to carry. I want you to learn to carry mine. It's light. However, we're so weighed down by our own burdens that we neglect or minimize the burden that he invites us to carry. In fact, we often say, hey, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for one more thing, even if it's yours, Jesus. His burden for us is for people to turn from our self-serving goals, turn from our self-interest, to turn from our self-promotion, our self-indulgence, and our self-pity, all of which the Bible calls sin. Now remember, Jesus' invitation here in Matthew chapter 11 is to all, not just you as an individual. We're listening often as individuals. He says, come to me, all who are weary. And what that means is that we need one another to help us find release from the burdens and experience the freedom of rest. And the reason why we must help each other in carrying burdens is so that we can properly focus our personal attention on carrying well what we are supposed to carry, that is, the burden of Jesus. In the New Testament book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul helps us to understand this. You can turn there if you like. In Galatians chapter 6, just the first few verses. In verse 5, it says, each of you should carry your own load, which seems to be a contradiction to verse 2 of Galatians 6, in which Paul is encouraging us to carry each other's burdens. There are two different meanings going on there, which actually relate back to this same passage. In the first instance, we are being challenged to come alongside other people in an effort to help them bear the weight that they are under. The original wording brings the idea of those who are struggling to walk under an increasing load. The original word there is the same as the word translated as burden here in our verses in Matthew. You see, we're not called to live a carefree life. We are called by Jesus to learn to live with his burden, which is a single-minded desire to deal with the presence and consequences of sin in a sin-influenced world, inviting people to the present relief and the eternal rest that he freely provides. So what does that mean? It means that restoration requires perseverance. You know, sometimes the path that you have to plow through in your life's journey will be rough. It might be at times an uphill battle. But remember, in any difficulty you face, you stay connected to Jesus under the direction of God's truth, knowing that his purposes will ultimately prevail. You need perseverance, a characteristic that allows you to just take the next step, trusting the purpose and pace that God sets. Perseverance doesn't blame or point fingers. Rather, it keeps going, deepening in meekness, and is demonstrated in humility, confident in the presence and the promises of God. Now, I know as I speak this message here on this fourth Sunday of the new year, I'm not unaware of this reality. The majority of those who have made New Year's resolutions, you've already failed, or you're losing ground. And most of those resolutions have something to do with trying to free yourself from the weariness and the burdens that you carry. You long for rest, but you feel like giving up because you don't know if your efforts are worth it. You feel like you're afraid to make changes because what if it doesn't work again? You want rest around you and you want rest within you. You want to be free from the burdens you carry, and some of you even feel like giving up today. Jesus says, come to me, learn from me, and find rest. There continues to be much talk around us these days about freedom, doesn't there? Mostly about the lack of freedom that we feel. And many of us have bought into the lies that there is someone or some policy or some law or some country that is denying us freedom. Some of us talk about and post things as though we can be the ones who change the political will of this nation. The angst and anger that arises within us is wearying and burdensome, isn't it? We long to be free, but we acknowledge and we even accuse someone else of taking that freedom away. You know, when Jesus first started his earthly ministry, he went into a religious setting, a church setting, a synagogue, and he took the transcript of the Old Testament book of Isaiah, and he read the words that I read earlier from Luke chapter 4. To those who feel deprived, he brings good news. To those who feel trapped, he proclaims freedom. To those who feel blinded, he gives sight. To those who feel mistreated, he grants release. Some of you will understand this. Others of you will feel it. A few of you will long for that promise to be realized in your life. But those weren't the last words that he spoke that day. If you look in your Bibles, it says his last words were to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jubilee was a God-ordained occasion of restoration and freedom to be celebrated every 50 years by the Hebrew people. It was a year where outstanding financial debts were forgiven. Anybody in for that? Lands were returned. Slaves were released to go on their way. It was to be a time when people shared commonly from the production of the land. It was a year of deep rest for everyone. But it never happened. Jubilee never happened because of the self-indulgence of the people, because they lost their way, they lost their purpose, and they stopped trusting in God's provision. They started exploiting one another. The people of freedom were never really free. So when Jesus stands up and he declares that freedom was now fulfilled through him, every eye was on him, the Bible tells us, and they were all amazed because they, like us, felt weary and burdened by the circumstances of life. Jesus' invitation to the freedom of rest is not dependent on political or religious agendas. When we choose to come to Jesus, we choose to be proximal in our relationship with him, learning from him and refocusing our purpose, adjusting our pace, and being restored in our perseverance. And then those things that happen around us should not weigh us down. Instead, as we start learning to stop and give them to Jesus, and then allow him to settle our souls so that we can carry out his burden of sharing true freedom and rest with others. When you commit to being connected to Jesus, you will find restoration, that is rest, and you will experience rest for your souls. Are you weary? Do you feel weighed down? Jesus says, come to me. Learn from me. Find rest for your soul. You know, this week, anybody ever feel sorry for themselves? So this week I felt a little sorry for myself. I had a little Dave pity party. I shared this with our staff on Wednesday, because some of you might know that our El Salvador shelter Leaders Week. So there's a group of people in El Salvador. And I've been part of the board there for 12 years, and it just wasn't in the right timing for me to go. And so seeing the pictures and talking to the people down there is just like, oh, I'm like, God, you loser. Why did you not go? And then I said, wow, look at all the things that you're missing out on. Have you done that to yourself? I started doing that in my own head. I put myself in a little bit of a funk there for a couple of days, and so forgive me to any anybody who might have been affected by that. But then I connected to the annual meeting on Saturday, and it's just like, did God ever do that to you? Just smack you in the back of the head, like, smarten up, you idiot. Like, there's bigger things going on here. And 258 families received homes with not one Canadian touching the soil in El Salvador this past year in 2021. That's over 1,000 people who heard about the message of Jesus Christ, who have been connected to receiving discipleship in the ways of Jesus over the last couple of years, ultimately culminating in receiving a home and building their own home. I'm like, oh man, I just felt that inner conviction. God, in the midst of all of this, yeah, things aren't the way it was, but boy, his kingdom just will not stop. It's relentless, and when you actually get out of your own self-pity little fog, you realize there's so much more that God has for us to accomplish. That's just a little bit from me. So I don't know, maybe for you, it starts with extending grace and forgiveness to others, knowing that God is going to judge justly. He's got that. Because he's offered you grace, you've responded to it, and you didn't deserve it. And so have a posture of grace and mercy. Maybe for you it's learning simplicity, the simplicity of contentment, and the joy of sacrificial generosity. Maybe for you it's building periods of time where you can be alone throughout each day and each week, be alone with God. Maybe for you, it's delving deeper and understanding God's truth over your big screen or small screen's consumptions. Maybe for you, it's understanding that small, regular, daily things, often translated as boring, done with great love, reminds us that God is at work in accomplishing his purposes. Maybe for you, it's confession of pride or selfish ambition. You don't want to walk that closely to Jesus because what if his goals are different than yours? You're okay with just a little bit of Jesus influence here and there, but whatever the weight of your burden, Jesus says, come to me, learn from me, find rest for your souls. Let's pray together. Father, would you hear our prayer to you? And in these moments, Father, you are asking us to confess our weariness. And that's different for everybody. Confess our burden, knowing that, God, you see the end from the beginning or the middle that we hold so tightly. And so may we release that to you and allow you to lead us through our lives. Come to me, you say. And for some, Father, that means acknowledging Jesus as their Savior for the very first time. Learn from me, you say. And for some of us, that means we need to be more disciplined and dedicated in our commitment to you. And find rest. And for almost all of us, we are guilty of taking on more than we can bear and being distracted by those things that take us away from your primary purpose, seeing men and women and boys and girls come to know Jesus. And so, Father, would you renew us? Would you restore us as we commit ourselves to you in a fresh, new way? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.